Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, welcome to the Steve Jones Show, on the day where Mark Emmert talked about the O'Bannon lawsuit, because he had to. He was in a federal court standing up for the institution that pays him and said he was doing his best to keep the principles of the organization intact along the way. The Ed O'Bannon lawsuit, as we've been talking about for several weeks here, basically trying to get athletes paid. And he once again says that college athletes should not be paid for name, image. A lot of debate about that, even on this program, as far as image goes. Name, well, I don't know. Is your image, I can understand, as I've said many times, your image. It is part of you. It's kind of like your name. I think you should own it. However, should you own the statistics that go along with it? One of the debates involves video games and Electronic Arts. Emmert made the point that the majority of the NCAA-sanctioned programs actually work in the red on an annual basis. He said data shows that only approximately 24 athletic departments are able to profit and earn a profit, and those that do almost always have Division I football to thank. And we've talked about that how many times. I mean, just with Penn State alone, it is football and maybe even basketball that funds the majority, if not every single sport at Penn State, and a lot of other schools as well have been borderline making money with basketball, with men's basketball, and with the money that comes in from football. A lot of that has to do with college money, has to do with TV money for college football. He went on to say that players would by large wind up picking a college based on how much money they stood to make. I actually agree with that comment. I think you would end up having a different type of recruiting. It's not here you can get a great education and play football at a quality program, basketball, what have you. Now it would be, well, we can pay you X, whereas this school, who can give you an outstanding education, can't pay you as much money because they just don't have that much money. It would definitely lead to a have and have not in college football. The stance Emmert is arguing against falls in line with those who believe the NCAA has become rich off the backs of athletes who have been denied basic free market rights to earn money based on their ability. And then we go a little further in looking into this, and you wonder, does the NCAA need to massage one particular rule where autographs are concerned? That was a big discussion over the last year or so in college football. Should a player be able to sell his or her autograph? That's a very touchy situation, because you're going to have some big name players who are going to make a lot of money based on their name and college football performance. But how many linemen do you see going out and making a ton of money on their name based on their big time playing college performance? How many major league NFL linemen do you see signing at autograph sessions and making a ton of money out of it? Think about that a little bit. There's definitely going to be a separation there. Quarterbacks would have a potential to make more money on autograph signings. Wide receivers probably could. Running backs. Defensive linemen? Maybe not as much. Emmert also made the case that college sports are very much so different in the way of professional sports in the way they operate. He also upon being questioned on cross-examination, presented multiple instances of college teams' logos and uniforms in recent years being promoted alongside major events and with corporate sponsors, striking a balance to maintain amateurism while using business practices to support those athletics is a concern. He went on to say, you don't have the amateur student athletes in a situation where they're pitching for products. So that's the latest with Mark Emmert testifying today in the O'Bannon lawsuit. And as Steve mentioned yesterday, as much as I personally don't like a lot of things the NCAA has done as an organization, especially when running student athletics and college athletics, if this goes against the NCAA, think about how it changes the landscape of college and even high school athletics. And even Little League. Ed O'Bannon said the other day on the stand, when asked that Little League players should be getting a stipend or should get some money when they play in the Little League World Series, he said yes. Really? 11, 12, 13-year-olds should get some money playing in the Little League World Series, which is a volunteer organization where, in most cases, they haven't even paid to play that sport. And I can't see the parallel there. I can't see the parallel. Just because it's on television, just because it's on ESPN and ABC, and there's some corporate sponsors that are getting some advertising and spending some advertising money, that's the reason that Little League athletes should be paid? I mean, let's face it, Little League is getting sponsorships. I think one of the manufacturer sponsorships is Easton. Kellogg's, big sponsorship of Little League baseball. Subway for years was a sponsor of Little League baseball. Should all of these be kicking in to the athletes at 11, 12, and 13 years old that are playing in South Williamsport? Not sure that's apples and apples there. I'm not sure that's apples and apples. But anyway, that's some of the big stories of the day. The big story of the day, I should say. And because we are updating you on World Cup, Spain is out of the World Cup with their loss. So that's done. The U.S. Will play on Sunday. And it looks like Portugal may be without Ronaldo after all. We'll keep you updated on that. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. A final from earlier today, Colombia, a 2-1 winner over Ivory Coast. And going on right now in the first half of the 18th minute, it's England and Uruguay, both with a loss apiece in a must-win situation here virtually. They are scoreless in the 18th minute. Another big must-win situation between Greece and Japan later on tonight. That is the 6 o'clock game for tonight. Looking ahead toward the games tomorrow, 3 more on tap. It will be Costa Rica and Italy, both with a win apiece. France and Switzerland with a win apiece. And then Ecuador and Honduras will be the nightcap. They are both looking for win number one. And as we said earlier, the United States at 1-0 will not play again until Sunday evening. And that will be against Portugal. Portugal at 0-1, the United States at 1-0. That will be a very, very highly watched event, I think, on ESPN, because it's 6 o'clock Eastern time on a Sunday night. There's been a lot of discussion about soccer after the win earlier this week. It has been even on the minds of non-sports people right now, the United States in the World Cup with the win the other day. So I think you're going to see a huge, huge ratings boost. And if you're ESPN right now, you have to be ecstatic about that opportunity coming up. Of course, we'll have the phone lines open, too, at 800-795-9565. You can view or voice your opinion on the Washington Redskins or whatever their name may be here soon. That was a hot topic this morning on the Mark, if you were listening, after 8:30 this morning, between 8:30 and 10. With Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan. And by the way, if you did miss it and you're very interested in this conversation, go to the podcast, click on The Mark, and you can watch the video or audio podcast on WKOK.com by clicking on the mark. Again, the Washington Redskins, a big topic there. Should the name stay? Should the name go? Dan Patrick a few minutes ago with Above the Noise talking about that as well. And we're waiting to check in with Steve Jones, who is standing by in the Sunbury Motor Studio. And we'll have him coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Man.
Now you're back.
I've been sitting here the entire time.
It was nice of you to sit and listen in. Now, I want to apologize. Steve was in the Sunbury Motor Studio hanging out with us. He was listening intently to everything I was saying, probably arguing with me the whole time. Unfortunately, yes. I had a little bit of a technical problem, but that's the connection out of the Sunbury Motor Studio is good to go.
I told you to hit the thing on the side. You wouldn't do it.
You said hit it with a mallet. I just used a little ball peen hammer.
I can hear Harry right now. What? I said, do what?
You hit what?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's great to be here. It was really special to listen to the open. I know on the mark this morning, The subject of the Redskins was a hot topic. For those who are anti-name, this is your opportunity. This is your golden chance. And we are at a point in time where the listener, the fan, the viewer, has more power than they've had at any point in their lifetime. One way or the other. A viewer, a fan, a listener, okay, season ticket holder, has never had more power than at this moment in their life. Why? Well, let's face it. I mean, the only way you could really make a statement about something in the 50s, 60s, and really into the 70s is by not going. But you couldn't fire the manager. You couldn't fire the general manager. You couldn't. There are a lot of things you could not do. Now look at today. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media. Talk radio. Believe me, talk radio, huge component. Talk radio's never been more powerful than it is now. And at this particular stage, when you look at it, hey, if you want them to keep the name, you have the power in droves and in numbers to tell the Redskins, I don't care, I want you to keep the name. If you think they should change the name, you have the power in droves today. By your phone calls to us, by phone calls to DC stations, by social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, to tell them, change. The fan has more power today than at any point in a fan's lifetime. Don't you think so, Kev?
Right now, yes.
I don't think a fan's ever had more power to do anything than right now. With power comes responsibility, people.
If you can hear my voice, you need to stop what you're doing and get to Sunbury Motors Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, where the deals are sizzling. All new Hyundais are priced to move with the biggest discounts of the year. No gimmicks here. All you need to do to qualify is show up. Check out a 2014 Sonata for only $19,716. And we're not talking about a stripped-down stick shift with cranked windows and no AC. This car has a backup camera, power seat, heated seats, Bluetooth, and more. Looking for a leftover? We have a few 2013s left with discounts up to 10 grand and still with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. All with rates as low as 0% and great gas mileage, you can't lose. We're available 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. Or get to the North 4th Street Auto Plaza where Sunbury Motors Hyundai is selling more cars and satisfying more customers. And it has been that way since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. And we're at the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where all the buttons work.
Yay.
Can you say the same thing?
Oh, no, you press my buttons quite a bit. Those beer, they work really well.
Jeez. So you decided to come out and be mean today.
I just saw an opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. Storms rolled through last night, and your porch survived again.
Yes,
I mean, why can't that thing cooperate?
I don't know. Well, it's going to get fixed. Don't worry. We'll have it taken care of this weekend.
Okay. If you say so.
So earlier today... When the buttons weren't working correctly, I was talking about the O'Bannon suit and Mark Emmert's testifying at said suit. What did I miss?
Right. I don't think you missed anything. There's no surprise as to what he said today because, again, as you and I discussed the other day, Kevin, depositions were taken. Okay. And that's the key to this. Depositions were taken. And because of that, unless he has changed, and believe me, if he changed any information whatsoever, they will jump and pounce on it without question. And it won't take them long to do so. So I don't think you really missed anything. I think it is easy for Penn State fans... You know how I always talk about, look, I have no dog in the hunt, thus I can be objective about something.
Right.
Obviously, with the Penn State situation, I do have a dog in the hunt every single day. I broadcast, this will be my 33rd season of broadcasting Penn State basketball. It's going to be my 23rd season, my 15th as the play-by-play voice of Penn State football. I have missed out, yes, on bowl games the last 2 years because of what's happened and so forth. Financially, as for me, I admit, there's been a difference. How about that? To be fair. So that's me laying my cards on the table. But objectively, for the good of intercollegiate athletics across the board, changes do need to be made, but the changes need to be made within the current system. Giving the top five conferences, the big five conferences, more autonomy is an adjustment that's needed. The food deal, which is changing August 1st, that was a change that needed to be made. How they're handling transfers is a change that needed to be made. Are there other changes that need to be made? Yes. Are there changes that need to be made with the student athlete? Yes. And does there now need to be a far more realistic policy on practice hours during the course of the year? And there does. And that's the, of all the things that have come out this spring, that's bothered me more than anything else, Kevin, it's been that when the North, and people have heard me say this, that when Northwestern's situation came out, one of the items cited by the arbitrator in Chicago that then opened the door for Northwestern to vote was when he said quote, you can see that they, you know, it's part of what they said. They have to spend 50 to 60 hours a week on their on sports. Well, the number is supposed to be 20. Not one person came out and disputed it. That's the part that struck me. I don't know about you, but that's the one of all the items that have been put out there. That's the one that bothered me. No one disputed the 50 to 60 hours. And look, you're coaching, and I know there are rules. I know there are rules. But if you're coaching, you are imparting to them, hey, guys, I can only have you 20 hours, but, you know, hey, if you really want to be good, right? I think the one area that I didn't agree with you was on the Little League and high school front.
You think
I did not agree with you saying you said it could have an effect on high school and Little League. I don't think it will.
No, I think I might have misphrased it a little bit. I think if you start paying college athletes, it affects the high school side of things. And that's because you're going to have athletes now selling themselves to universities for the highest dollar. That's where I think it changes a little bit in the high school realm, because now you're going to see high school athletes starting to market themselves a lot differently than they do now. And I think it's dangerous right now. I mean, listen, I think it's great when you're running a high school football game on radio or television. And obviously, I'm involved in that, so that makes sense. But when you run a game that way, just because this particular athlete is a five-star athlete, playing against this high school in a specially made game of five-star athletes, that's where I think the danger is. And you start paying athletes, you're going to see a lot more of those.
All right. I hate to ask you this. Say that again.
What you're seeing is, and ESPN does this a lot, they'll have special games, and they'll focus on one or two athletes on each team that are these four and five-star athletes.
Right.
And that's not the way I want to see high school sports get covered in the media in general. I think if you start paying college athletes, these high school players are going to see this as an opportunity to get into the spotlight and make some more money in college. Not just get a better, a full scholarship now to the college of their choice, but to get a full scholarship to the college of their choice and another 10 grand. And that's where I think it's going to affect high school sports, because you're going to have these players marketing themselves now instead of just playing football or basketball or baseball or whatever.
So you're saying the entire Shikellamy football team is going to start marketing itself?
Maybe.
No.
I think it's going to be individual more than it's going to be team-oriented. That's where my concern is.
Right. I understand. I don't think that's going to happen. Let's start with the Little League part of it. I think Little League players are just going to play Little League for Little League. The only way it can possibly change, Kev, is if one of them says, hey, I'm on TV, I'm suing. Now, with that, to me, you then give up, as far as I'm concerned, you give up your chance to go into college. You're already a professional. I don't want college sports, college football, college basketball, I mean, they're really the only two, okay, to become a minor league. I don't want that. And that bothers me, if that's a possibility. Because when you do that, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you can make you can turn things around very quickly and say, okay, here's $20,000. Oh, but you have to go over, by the way, to the bursar's office, and you are going to have to pay for your tuition. And you are going to have to go over, and you're going to have to pay for your housing, and you are going to go, and you're going to sit back and go, well, I don't have anything left. Right? Well, you're in the same spot you were before, but you just went over and paid for it. Now you know what we've been doing for the last 80 years. Most student-athletes have cherished their scholarships. And this is where, for example, let's take the Johnny Manziel example. He's received more publicity than anybody else about this stuff. All right? I've heard, pay him his market value, okay? I mean, let's face it. Look at what Johnny Manziel's done. Look what he's done for Texas A&M. Before Johnny Manziel threw a pass, they were selling 90,000 seats at Kyle Field. After Johnny Manziel threw his first pass, you know how many seats they sold there?
90,000.
Exactly. Right? Now, did they sell some jerseys that were number two? Sure. Is number two a number that actually has been famous at Texas A&M? Yeah. Ed Simonis, who was a two-time All-American at linebacker, wore that number. Okay. One of the greats in Texas A&M history. May not mean anything to any of you, but I know who he is. 14. Christian Hackenberg. Ty Blackledge. John Schaefer. Heisman runner-up Chuck Fusina.
Should every one of those athletes get a kickback?
Right. Should we give royalties to all of them every time you sell a jersey? Doesn't have their name in the back? It represents everybody. It's a Penn State. To me, those are jerseys that are Penn State jerseys. Because you want to wear a Penn State jersey to the game. Okay? You want to wear a Penn State jersey to the game because that's your team's uniform. It's your team uniform. It's not the guy. You may buy it because of the guy, but if you buy 22, are you buying because you really think Akeel Lynch is cool? Or, God, you know, when I went to school, Evan Royster broke the school record for rushing. Or, you know what? Hey, that's John Cappelletti's number. I wear it just like the Pirate fans wear 21. What does it mean? I don't know what it means. And that's why whenever, you know, give him his market value. Well, okay, what is Johnny Manziel's market value? What is it? Now, you know, I'm talking before, not now, obviously. I mean, he has no market value now. It's in Cleveland.
Well, it kind of goes back with what I was saying, Steve. When you, a lot of people say, well, and I honestly have this feeling as well. I don't care if they're going out and selling their autograph if somebody's willing to buy it. But how many linemen are going to be able to do that on a regular basis? You know, it goes by when you allow the players to quote unquote share in the profits based upon their jersey number. How many number 74s are going to be in the stands?
Depends. I mean, for example, at Ohio State, you'll see some because of John Hicks.
But there's not going to be as many as the point I was making. There's not going to be as many as a running back, wide receiver, quarterback, you know, the higher profile positions.
Yeah, you'd say so. You'd think. I mean, but they pick out numbers, for example, that are hot. 45 was a hot number here in the late 2000s. Okay, Sean Lee. 31, Paul Posluszny. You know, but that also was Shane Conlon's number. I see 33s. Okay, well, that was Jack's number. I've seen, obviously, 17s with Darrell Clark was quarterback. 12s were all over the place when it was Michael Robinson. I mean,
see, I see jersey the same way in high school, college, youth football and pro football. It's a team jersey, not the individual jersey. Even if the name is on the back, in high school, it's only on the back for 4 years, and then it's somebody else's.
Right, but...
And in the NFL, you know, it could be 1 year before it's somebody else's.
Right. I would, you know, but again, you put no name on it and just say it's a team jersey.
Right.
That's why what Northwestern's doing. I mean, talk about panic. We're only going to sell 51. Oh, for God's sakes. You know what? I'd sell them all and say and look at everybody and go, you know what? This is what... At some point, you've got to take a line in the sand and stop cowering in the fetal position. All right? Texas A&M, they're only going to sell 12. Well, great. You know what you just told me? Your leadership is a bunch of people who panic. Okay, I'd sell every number. I say, here you go. They're all there. Right, there you go. 1 through 99. Knock yourself out. Go ahead. And not only that, then I'd send one to the NCAA headquarters. There you go. We just want to give you a gift. I mean, that's simple. I mean, they're only going to sell 12, 51 there, and Arizona State's only going to sell 14.
Is that what Arizona State decided on? Because I hadn't heard that number yet. So it's 14?
Right, right. It's Arizona. Is it Arizona or Arizona State? Well, I can't remember which one.
Is there a significance for that, or they just picked that arbitrarily?
I have no idea. I'm sure it's retired. I mean, just look it up. I'm sure it's a retired number. But, I mean, it's that kind of panic in this atmosphere. Now, where the NCAA made a huge mistake was when it comes to the video game, they crossed the line, as far as I'm concerned. When you are using likenesses and facially it looks like the person, okay, now you have taken it to a different realm. When you sign your letter of intent, you have signed your letter of intent to play that particular sport. You have signed that, and in exchange for playing that particular sport, in exchange for that, the university will take money in your on your behalf, and they'll put it in so that you can go to school. They'll take money on your behalf, and they will then pay for your housing. They'll take money on your behalf, and they'll put it toward your meal plan. They'll take money on your behalf, and they'll put it toward your books. There is nothing in that contract, which is really what it is, that says that, hey, by the way, we're also going to use you on a video game. Now, I know you love the video game, but can't you get by in the video game just doing the pros?
Oh, you know what? But they don't have to be the images of the players. I don't care if it's the same player's image over and over again, and it's nobody in particular. But my question is this. When you become an athlete or a student at any university, do you give that university the right to use your image in promotion? And could this be considered a promotion of the sport, the university, and the NCAA?
You're allowed to use the image of the individuals in promotion, for example, on schedule posters or schedule cards. A student athlete, for example, I cannot have Christian Hackenberg say, hi, this is Christian Hackenberg. Don't forget to listen to Steve Jones right. And Jack Hamm on Penn State Football on News Radio 1070 WKOK. A student athlete is absolutely not allowed to do that. Okay, they're allowed to be on schedule posters and on schedule cards. Nothing else.
But I guess my question is, can the NCAA in this lawsuit use that as their justification for authorizing and allowing Electronic Arts to use the images of players?
No. Okay. Once,
but that's not for the. That's not promoting the sport, the university, or the NCAA.
Yeah, but it's. But you're using the individual. The problem EA Sports, you know, in order to make the game real. The guys look just like the guys.
They do.
Okay, that's the problem. Now, while the vast majority of college football players go, I'm in a video game.
That's cool, right?
Right? There's one or two that go, hey, how come I'm not getting anything for that? The other 95% are like, wow, look at this.
I'm going to buy this video game and play it forever.
I scored 20 touchdowns.
And I'm a lineman.
I'm great. We ran the fumble rooski every play. But the difference is that they all look like the guys. I saw the commercial for Braxton Miller and Carlos Hyde. There was no mystery.
No.
Okay? And I've only seen the commercial. You have the game.
It's the same image.
Right. But I'm saying, though, I mean, so I understand the desire to do it. I mean, I get that. But I think the limit has to be, like, we can't do this. And that's where the NCAA made the mistake. The NCAA crossed the line, as far as I'm concerned, when they did this. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yeah, the Big 33 game was last week. For example, the Leser Lumber Football Classic, which is in Altoona at Mansion Park. That's coming up. That's one of the regional all-star games for players that were seniors last year. One of the reasons that you want the NCAA model to at least exist, but with obviously some dramatic modifications. Okay, this is a huge wrestling area. I can tell you right now, boys and girls, that if it becomes you're going to pay for play, there are going to be 76 wrestling programs down to 40.